Greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you, everybody, to Basic Gospel. We are here every weekday to bring a message of grace and truth in Jesus Christ, and now we want to hear from you. If there's a Bible passage you can't understand, or if there's something, some issue you're going through, a struggle in life, well, there is an answer in the Word of God, and we want to point you to it right now. So don't hesitate. Give us a call at 844-322-2742 in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now, because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You know, at the first of this month, we reviewed a survey that was done by the Arizona Christian University Cultural Research Center earlier this year, and it was a survey about worldviews. What do people think about some of the big issues? And some of the things that they talked about are how is a person saved? And alarmingly, 52% of people who identified as Christians gave a works-oriented answer. Yeah. They said, we work our way into heaven. It's up to us to get there. And then in another question, they talked about, are there many ways to God, or is there simply one way to God? Mm-hmm. And 56% of people who said they attend evangelical churches said having some type of faith is matters more than one's choice of faith. So they're basically saying there are multiple ways to God. You just pick the one that you think is best or that is your favorite, that makes you feel the best. Well, is any of that true? Well, no, we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. There's no other way for us to be saved. No one will be declared righteous through obedience to the law. The law is weak and useless when it comes to the things of salvation. It cannot make us righteous. It cannot impart life to us. The only thing the law can do is judge, condemn, and sentence. That's what the law does. And when we put ourselves underneath the law, it judges us guilty of sin, it condemns us, and then it sentences us to death. That's the wages of sin, according to the Word of God. So no one will be saved through obedience to the law or through following some religious ritual or doing good works out there. Your good works are not going to outweigh your bad works, and God doesn't grade on a curve. It's either 100% or you're doomed. Mm-hmm. You can put somebody on the coastline of California and say, for you to be saved, for you to have everlasting life, you have to swim to Hawaii because everlasting life is there. Well, everybody dives in, and then you start judging how far you get. Well, it doesn't matter how far you got. You still drowned in the Pacific Ocean. You didn't make it to that shore where eternal life would be. So all of us are dead, and regardless of the good efforts that we put forth, they're never going to be enough to save us. The other thing is, like I said, there are many ways to God. You can think, well, maybe somebody's better at the backstroke, or somebody's better at the breaststroke, or somebody's better at this. Well, none of that is going to work. There's only one way to God, and Jesus said it best, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, why do we need to stand fast on that? Why can't we buy into the idea that there are many ways to God, that there are many options out there available to us, that when we click on the link on the website that says how to get to God, we're going to see multiple options, and we just choose the one that seems right for us? Well, because it misses the problem. It misses what salvation is all about. Salvation is about life, and we're dead spiritually, and to be saved means we're going to be made alive. We're going to cross over from death to life. Now, in 1 John chapter 5, John writes this, and this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in the Son. So where is eternal life to be found? In Jesus Christ. Is it found anywhere else? No. Is it found in Buddhism? Is it found in Islam? Is it found in any other religion or philosophy? No, there's not a single religion, there's not a single philosophy outside of Christianity that offers life as its eternal reward. Only Jesus offers eternal life. So if you want eternal life, there's only one place that you can go to find it. Now, I know in this world that we live in today, especially with this coronavirus, there are pharmaceutical companies who are racing, doing everything they can to find some type of vaccine to cure or to at least stop the spread of this virus. And everybody is waiting for that day. And experts are saying, you know, when that day comes, things can get back to normal. So you've got all these different pharmaceuticals putting forth money and research and time and energy and effort. Well, let's say Johnson & Johnson, they find the vaccine, they discover it, they put it together, they begin to manufacture it, and it can get rid of COVID-19. What would you tell somebody that had COVID-19? Go to Johnson & Johnson. They've got the cure. Well, what about Merck, or what about Pfizer, or what about this pharmaceutical company? Well, they've done a lot of great research, but they don't have the cure. Mm-hmm. They don't have the vaccine. So you can go and be wowed by their research facility. You can be wowed by the money that's poured into their research, and you can be wowed by the intellect of the scientist, but you're still going to come away from there with COVID-19. Mm-hmm. If you want to get rid of it, you have to go to Johnson & Johnson. Now, that's the way it is as far as Jesus is concerned. You've got a problem. You're dead spiritually. If you want life, there's only one place that you can go to experience eternal life, the one who has life. And all throughout the Word of God, and John really brings it into sharp focus right here in his letter, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in Jesus. If you want to find your way to God, you're going to have to be made alive. Why? Because God is the God of the living. There's only one place to go to be made alive, and that is the person of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's the only one that has life. And as Paul described him in 1 Corinthians 15, he, as the second Adam, has become a life-giving spirit. Mm-hmm. So why is there only one way to God? Because there is only one life available to us, and that is in Jesus.
Absolutely. Great point, Bob. Thank you for those thoughts. Thank you for being with us, everybody. We'd love to hear from you. We have several calls that are waiting to be answered, and we will get to those just after this very special message. But we do have an open line for you at 844-322-2742 in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Give us a call. We want to hear from you. You know, about his brand-new resource, Against the Current, Bob Christopher says it's time for Christians to stand out rather than blending in, to be transformed by the renewing of our minds instead of conforming to the patterns of this world. Well, the good news is that God, through his Spirit, has given you everything that you need to stand strong in the gospel and to live out your new life in Jesus Christ. Against the Current will help you thrive in this confusing and hostile world that we live in. And we'll send you a copy to say thanks for your much-needed gift in October to empower the proclamation of truth through Basic Gospel. To make your gift, as always, you can click Donate at BasicGospel.net. Your generous gift will help bring believers back to the essentials, back to the truth of the gospel, back to Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Again, you can donate now or anytime at BasicGospel.net. Well, once again, 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel.
Well, thanks, Bob. We have so many questions. We've got questions on the phone line. We've got email questions. Yeah. We've got questions coming in from our YouTube viewers and Facebook viewers. So we're going to start with YouTube today. And Marcel Muwa, Marcel wrote to us, and he's asking about Malachi 3:10. Who is Malachi 3:10 addressing? And actually, the prophet Malachi is speaking to the priest of the day. and the priest of the day had gone rogue, basically. They were looking out there into the world and seeing, hey, these other nations are being blessed by their gods. And so they started bowing the knee to foreign gods, and so they were leading the people of Israel astray. And so he was really chastising the priest. And so he's saying, test me. I want things to be brought into the storehouse, and you will see the riches of my blessings flowing into your lives and into Israel as a nation. Well, that was all a part of the old covenant. That was part of that Mosaic covenant that God established with between himself and the people of Israel. It was a conditional covenant. It was a covenant that involved two parties. So God had his terms and conditions, and then the people had their terms and conditions.
If you I will.
That's exactly right. Yeah. It was an if-then. Well, that covenant has been done away with through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and we are now living in the new covenant, and it's a covenant that is unilateral. It's not something that is conditional. Right. We don't have to do anything to receive the blessings. All we do is receive the blessings. We receive Jesus, and in receiving Jesus, we are given every spiritual blessing in him. That's good news. It says in 2 Peter that we have everything that we need for life and godliness. So now in this new covenant, God calls us to excel in the grace of giving. So there's not an obligation to give a certain percentage of your income. There's just this outflowing of the work of God's Spirit in our lives. And so the Spirit who lives in us, that's God. And God so loved that he gave. And so as we grow in our knowledge of God, as we grow in our understanding of the grace of God, we're going to see a desire start to grow inside of us to want to give just as God gave.
Yeah.
He's a giver. Guess what? We're going to become givers. And how much we choose to give, nowhere in the New Testament does it say a particular amount.
Right.
We are simply to give joyfully. We are to give cheerfully. We are to give based on what we have, not on what we don't have. Mm-hmm. So whatever you want to give, give it. Give it cheerfully, and you will experience the joy of giving, not in what you might get back, but just in the act of giving. There's joy attached to that. So that's all talked about in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. Mm-hmm. So any mention of tithing, that's Old Testament. We're not in that old covenant. We're new covenant. Let's give from the heart. Let's allow the Spirit of God to move us, and let's excel. Let's be eager to participate in the work of God here in this world. Now, what does the work of God entail? Well, it involves investing in the power of the gospel, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. It involves looking at the physical needs of people around you and help meeting those physical needs, helping the poor, those sort of things. So there's a number of ways that you can invest in God's work here on planet Earth. Just look around and say, Lord, open my eyes to see how I can participate through my financial giving.
Yeah, absolutely. Great answer, Bob, and we're glad to hear from Marcel. 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you, Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and from California, we had this call from Sharon. Let's listen.
Hi, this is Sharon from Vacaville, California. In the end times, you know, it says, as were the days of Noah. And, you know, the world is so messed up. It's so bad. I just have to think it makes Jesus so sad to look down on us and see what people are doing and how they've become. And I just have to think that the days now are 100 times worse, especially with the internet. How much longer is he going to wait to come get us? It's hard to find hope nowadays. Aren't these worse than the Thank you.
Well, that's a great question, Sharon. And, you know, I think if you go back to Genesis chapter 6, and that's where the days of Noah are really described, and God looked down and said, I am just sorry I made man to begin with, and I am going to wipe the planet clean, and we're going to have a fresh start. And that fresh start happened after the flood with Noah and his family, eight people saved on that particular boat from that that flood, that punishment, that death that was brought about because of the evil that was in the world. And so if you go back and read that, and there's a lot of kind of reading in between the lines to see just the horrific things that were going on back in that day. But it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. So have we reached that level? Absolutely not. And, you know, that when that happens, we'll know the Lord is around the corner.
Yeah.
Now, it certainly seems like we're headed in that direction. But we have to step back and recognize that God is doing a work here on planet Earth. I mean, just because we see evil seem to be growing, we see the darkness starting to prevail, even though it seems that way, there's this amazing work of God through the person and work of Jesus Christ that is taking place all over the world. I mean, we look in some of the darkest, most bleak countries on this planet, and when we kind of lift up the curtain of evil that covers that particular country, we see incredible things happening. We see pockets of Christians starting to bubble up and to make a difference in those particular countries. We see this incredible work of God of calling people unto himself. We see this happening in Muslim countries, in communist countries, in remote countries around the world. That's what we see happening. And that work is happening through Jesus Christ and through the body of Christ that is here.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want hope, I think you have to look to the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ. You have to look to the fact that Christ is alive, and you have to look to the fact that since he is alive, he is at work carrying out his Father's business through you and through me. And so every time that you see someone come to know Jesus, someone go from darkness to light, going from death to life, you have to say, oh my gosh, is this exciting to see this rescue mission continuing to rescue people all over this world. So, yeah, we can look and we can look at the headlines. We can look at what's going on in Hollywood. We can look at just the moral decay. I mean, it's obvious. It's apparent. It's there. We don't have to search very far to see it. But with all that going on, God is up to something. And that something that he's up to is good. And it's good because it's the salvation of those who are lost. And it's the transformation of those who are in Christ Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely. Bob, thanks for that. Again, 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you. So, well, Michael, what do you got to say?
Hi, name's Michael. I have OCD, and I've had it for a very long time. I'm on a permanent disability for it. I don't think I'm going to be healed of it. So I think God's just going to use it to reach other people with mental illness. Maybe I just wonder what your thoughts are on that. I don't think God will heal it. Is this something I have to live with?
Well, Michael, that's a great question. I mean, I certainly don't know the extent of the OCD you are experiencing. Of course, there's all different levels, mild cases to severe cases. But what we do know is that if you're a believer in Christ, what that means is that Christ is alive living in you, that you have the Spirit of God living in you. And part of the role of the Spirit of God is to bring truth to these minds of ours. And so we can rely on the truth of God. And even though we have these quote mental illnesses, we can let God do his thing inside of us and bring to our minds a measure of peace and assurance and calmness and those sort of things, knowing that we're in his plans. And Michael, you certainly have a very good perspective on your OCD. If you are seeing it as something God can use to bring awareness to mental issue concerns, or can bring awareness to other people going through the same thing that you're going through, and to give them a measure of hope and a measure of encouragement, then God is already at work in that mind of yours to bring about that perspective. And so you should step back and give thanks to God for what he's doing in and through you. And we will pray, Michael, that God will bring many people across your path where that you can encourage, that you can be an example of hope and of what God can do in a person's life, even a person that is suffering from some sort of mental illness.
Absolutely. Michael, thanks for reaching out. We hope that's a help to you. Bob, another quick question.
My question is, do I have to belong to a church? That's what my question is. Do I have to be a part of a church? Hey, thank you. Bye.
Well, the answer is you are a part of the church. You belong to the body of Christ. You're a member of the Church of Jesus Christ. It happened the moment that you believed the good news of Jesus Christ and were born again or were made new by Christ. So when you crossed over from death to life, the Holy Spirit came to live in you, and the Holy Spirit baptized you or placed you into the body of Christ. So you belong. You're already a member of the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, what does that mean? It means that you belong to Christ, and it also means that you're a part of the family of God. So now you have a built-in desire to be connected to other believers, to get together with other family members.
Yeah.
And that's what a local church is. It's just a local gathering of the members of the family of God who live in that area.
Right.
That's what it is. So there's something inside of you that says you want to get connected to other believers. That's just a part of being a child of God. Why? Because you belong to them. You're connected to them spiritually. So do you have to be a member? Do you have to go through a membership class? Do you have to sign a covenant or any of those things that so many churches are doing these days? Well, there's nothing in the Word of God that speaks to those things. But I feel it's important that you get connected, either in a small group of believers in a small group Bible study, or find a Sunday school class at a church, or just assemble together with other believers. Mm-hmm. Why? Because in that, you're going to get the full measure of Christ's ministry in your life, mm-hmm. and others are going to get the full benefit of Christ's ministry in their lives as we connect one to another.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Bob, for that. And thanks to everybody who tuned in today to listen to Basic Gospel and view it online. Keep in mind that if you have a Bible question or some troublesome issue of everyday living, well, tell us about it at 844-322-2742, and we'll discuss it on Basic Gospel. That's 844-322-2742 in the U.S. and Canada. And once again, thanks to the many of you who faithfully support Basic Gospel every month with your prayers and with your gifts. If you haven't been able to help so far, you can join us now by clicking donate at basicgospel.net. And in doing so, you'll help us keep the message of grace and Jesus Christ on the air and online. And when you make your October gift, be sure to request your copy of Against the Current. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to join us tomorrow as we continue in that excellent study called Simple Gospel, Simply Grace on Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.